Hi everyone, and welcome to Fresh Media Presents Podcast. You are joined today by myself, Christian, and Paris. We are the host of the podcast, and we have our lovely guest with us today, Guy and Malcolm. Now, as you may notice, Hope is no longer with us. We wish her very well. She did an amazing job, so good luck to Hope.
Yeah, thank you so much, Hope, for everything you've done for us.
So now we have Malcolm, infamous Malcolm. He was a cast of Trap. He played Derek, and we got Gaia, who played Carl and Trap.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking us. Or me, I should say. I can't speak on your behalf. Thank you for asking for me. It's wonderful. Thank you. I don't know about Gaia.
So, guys, last time we actually saw you was at the screening.
Yeah.
So, what was your thoughts? Did you enjoy the screening?
The popcorn was great.
Yeah.
the popcorn and the sweets and the balloons were really great.
Amazing. Yeah.
So for those who don't know, we made a film about domestic violence called Trapped. It's actually on YouTube. If you watch it on Fresh Media Productions, you will see it. It's called Trapped. These two played and have done an amazing job. As you can see, you have Carla, which also known as Gaia, and you got Malcolm, which plays Derek. So yeah, and also we did a screening. It was actually in, where was it?
It was at World Cinema. Brixton.
Brixton.
So it was a great location.
Great location.
We had amazing feedback, you know, and you know, it was like, I definitely say it's one of the best times of our career.
Yeah,
it was
that amazing. Enjoyed it. It was a good crowd. And we were talking outside, weren't we? Yeah. Going, God, it was like, we shot it January 22nd, didn't we?
I know.
Yeah.
It's coming
that's
up.
A year
the
ago.
Anniversary
so when this goes
up.
Out, which is like, almost close
yeah,
to
yeah exactly
yeah
and then I remember the casting process yeah. as well was in 2018
yeah
well.
It's crazy
it was so
it's
long
like, God, it's,
yeah
it's
so
like
long
a proper film
yeah. I know so let's
How
just
feel seeing yourself on a big screen
oh I don't mind that
used to it
yeah
oh he's already used to it
for me it was the first time
first
so
time.
It was really really nervous
actually when we were going to take a group photo everyone's like where's Malcolm you were a bit famous weren't you
yeah
because everyone was taking pictures of you
yeah he was, obviously people were
yeah and Gaia yeah,
and
everyone
yeah,
but I mean Malcolm is stealing hearts everywhere so
no it was great it was a lovely screening it was lovely to see so many people attend and you guys you know I mean I think we all agree or both agree anyway it was a really professional job you know
yeah.
through the casting process through to filming and I'm ignoring the fact that you never bought me pizza
I know
filming.
Oh, so
no,
I'm just ignoring that I'm ignoring that
I know what keeps happening there
you I
just
know
keep,
you're just,
you're just
never there,
never there.
Yeah, I know it's like I'm like finished filming right I'm going home
yeah. Oh,
you have a busy life Malcolm
yeah. it was a professional production we always said that it was you know you knew what you're doing you knew what you wanted to get
yeah
it was a great script and you shot it like, you had no qualms you're like this is what I'm gonna shoot it like that there was no faffing around on set
and
to get to that position again because that was quite a long time till you had it right with the right score and the right edit and see it at the cinema it was really pleasing because it's like the first screen I'd done in quite a while so it was quite
thank you but we can't take all the credit like we had an amazing crew
definitely
so thank you to Matt Root
the DLP
Ramon.
Root the sound recorders and we had the makeup artist which was Ramon.
Yeah she was amazing
incredible. We couldn't have done it without her honestly
done it without her.
Yeah but it all started from your vision
yeah
you
of
did,
course
but
I
again
understand
you,
that.
You created that you got that crew together
yeah
it
yeah
all started
definitely.
From you
yeah
and they were it was a great crew it was fantastic
and I think that was one of our first projects out of uni so you know we were fresh we didn't know how to do castings properly because we did it in uni but it wasn't like professional castings like it was kind of we'll meet you here and you can just say your piece. But this time we actually did a proper setup and we're just grateful for you both for auditioning. So let's just take it back to the audition process. So Guy, how did you find the audition process?
I loved it because, I mean, I'm a very nervous person. So I was very, very, very when I came into the room. But what I loved is that you were really excited about the project. I could see that.
Yeah.
So everything, you know, goes in another direction when you see that the people who, you know, are taking...
Sorry, Marco's just taking a little picture.
I told you it's like the...
Sorry, the purpose of the podcast there, that quite lull was me taking a selfie.
It was an emotional moment. You ruined that.
That's what I wanted to capture.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go on.
No, but it was a very good energy, very good vibe in the room. I felt completely... You know, it was quite a, not hard scene, but it was involving emotions. Yes, and definitely. And I felt, and it's something I felt also on set, always comfortable and always protected.
Yeah.
So it's something I will always be grateful to you, because it was, you hear so many weird stories and horrible stories, and I have this experience now, and I'm like, oh my God, I was so lucky. Yeah. They are amazing. So it was a very, very, very nice project.
But you know what I would say? The main reason why we gave you the part, not only because you're great, but because, you know, we really wanted people to connect with Carla. So when people initially auditioning, they were going with the angry approach. You were the only person, one of few that were going with the, you know, vulnerable. Yeah, you're intimidated, you're vulnerable. People took it. A lot of people that did audition were good, but they took it in a different way. And we felt like you really understood the character, if that makes sense. And we're grateful that you took the role and you did a great job with it. And we've had nothing but good feedback from both of you.
Thank you.
So, you know, when you was when you played Carl on set and you had to tap into that emotion, what did you have to put yourself in the state of mind to actually bring it out? Because you did an amazing job. I just want to know what kind of frame of mind do you have to be in?
Of course, during the auditions, I did some researches. Mm-hmm. I heard, like, it was YouTube, listening to interviews of people, you know, were in this situation. And then on set, it was, I think, especially the day we filmed the scene with Malcolm, the moment when, you know, he had texted me and I answer back.
Spoiler.
It's really out there.
And because of course I was feeling super protected, super, you know, everybody was supportive, everybody was taking care of me, asking me if I was okay. It was a quite emotional moment. And Malcolm, you know, he's amazing, honestly. Before filming, he asked me to, you know, meet for lunch and discuss about, you know, what we were comfortable with, knowing each other, because it was, you know...
I think we met a couple of times, didn't we?
Yeah. Where scenes were, you know, required that you are comfortable with your scene partner and you trust each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think what I felt and what I loved is that there was completely a complete connection and a complete trust between us, and... Otherwise, you know, it doesn't happen like that, because, I was feeling in the situation, but knowing that there were people protecting me and being, you know, supportive, and he was amazing. So, honestly.
And you, Malcolm, how did you find the audition process, and what were your thoughts on the way it was done?
Auditions are really strange, especially for parts like that, because parts like Derek, it's too easy to just like play the cloak and dagger and be the really evil, you know. I feel, and I'll be honest, I do get a lot of parts like that, and it's just my casting, but it's, I think maybe because I find the nuance, or I look for the nuance in that character rather than just being, I always try and get some sort of empathy with an audience, so even though it might feel wrong, and that's why I think I get cast a lot like that, because a lot of people think, oh, I can't really feel bad for him, but he's obviously an absolute bastard, really.
Yeah.
But I mean, the recall was the really important thing. Sorry, we can swear on this one.
Yeah, go ahead. Swear what you like.
I'll drop the big ones. But it was the recall, because that was the really important one, because that's when we were paired up, and I got paired with quite, I think it was four girls.
Yeah, a couple of girls.
And there was some. You went through with a fine tooth. They were all really good, but Gaia was the one that I went, fuck, really getting something back here, because you told us just to improvise the scene.
Yeah.
And again, I asked for your permission, you know, because it was quite, I mean, I don't want to spoil it, it's quite a violent scene, and it's quite a horrible scene to do. And this is one of the bugbears, you know, the wonderful and horrible thing about acting is you do things that you find as yourself morally abhorrent.
Yeah.
You know, I do things on a regular basis that I would never do as a person, but as an actor, you get free license with it. And you have to find that split in the dichotomy of, like, making that believable, because you and yourself, in your core would never do anything like that.
Exactly, yeah.
And there's this thing, you switch on, the camera turns over, and all of a sudden you can do those things. And it is make-believe, but you know, the thing is, you have to make people believe it. And it was in that, and it was that quiet fear and horror that we got from Gara in that point, where it was just me, you know, come on, come on. And I was like screaming at her, shouting at her, pulling her. This is in the casting, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
And she was just this wreck of a woman. You could see I could see then what was going to happen.
Mm.
You know, this, you know, the fruition of the film. And it was a lovely thing to do. But obviously when you get on set, it was a really safe environment. It was, because I remember, I think we did one take because someone screamed out because when I banged the door or something, they didn't expect it was to come. I mean, I did improv that, and that scene was, but it was real.
It was
I mean,
good.
I remember one time thought, oh God, I hope no one calls the police because it, you know, this is proper domestic violence, and it was, but it is, it's this wonderful thing you're allowed to do, and you know it's all make believe.
Yeah,
but obviously. That doesn't happen in the real world. This is, you know, as you were trying to make out in the film, this happens in the real world. And there isn't a director shout, cut. That's great.
It goes on, doesn't it?
Move on. You know, and that's one of the things I always think about when you get things like that. It's just like, God, this is all right for me, but this happens.
So what technique do you use to tap into that kind of side? Like, is there, or is it just something that you just naturally got? Do you have to put yourself in the same, like a frame of mind to kind of get into that? Because you said morally.
Not really. I'm not one of these actors who goes in for a load of preparation and get into character. And, you know, I don't. It's not that I don't believe in it. No, it's just what works for other people does. You know, I don't go out and, you know, watch loads of videos of men beating women. It should be in the script.
It's not funny.
It's not funny, but it's just. It's
but that, it should be in the script.
Yeah.
If it's in the script, then I can do it. Mm. You know, I can't. And that's where it starts for me. If it's in the script, then it's fine. And again, that scene was a lot of improvised work as well. So that actor, Gaia, came prepared. She knew what she was doing. And that, for me, that's the best thing because I could bounce off that.
Yeah.
And we feed off that. So, I mean, I don't want to look at videos where people get, you know. Yeah. And then I don't want to watch films or whatever, you know, endlessly. But you do. You as a director, a producer, you go, right, this is what I want from you. And it's like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Tell me, go.
But even on set, I remember the assistant director, Connor, he was actually saying to us, do you want to go knock on people's doors and let them know that we're just acting? Because that part was, do you know what? It actually, even on the auditions, it actually gave me the creeps. Mm. Like, it made me feel really uncomfortable. And I knew from the audition, if it made me feel uncomfortable then, when we get on set, it's going to make me feel really uncomfortable. Yeah, yeah. And even my friend was on set. She was really, like, feeling really uncomfortable as well. So I think, you know, I think you both did a great job. So what would you say the most challenging part of playing Carla was?
I mean, luckily I never experienced anything like that.
Yeah.
So that's why also I had to, you know, prepare a little bit and speak with a couple of people, and I think was being in the mind, like get in the in her mind, because she would, you know, her background, her story was tragic, and learning to feel that vulnerability, that the weakness that she feels, that's also why she, you know, accepts more or less this treatment from her partner. That was quite challenging because it's like something I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't do. On set, probably, that day of the, you know, the violence scene. But as I said, what was, you know, making me, comfortable and safe was all the environment, like all the people, all the crew, Malcolm, of course, and knowing that everything was safe. If I had, you know, a moment I was feeling lost, you would, you know, save me mentally and physically. There was no need, but... No, that was...
Because you actually took real bruises home, didn't
you? Yeah.
Because I remember you coming in the next day with real bruises.
Yeah. Nothing to do with me.
Nothing.
Because we lost your voice as well, didn't you?
Yeah, that's.
It just showed how much effort you put into that scene. You were willing to go.
But because it was real in that exactly. moment. Yeah. We were really there, and I remember. Of course, I was the weak part, like the woman who gets the violence. But there was a moment. I think it was before our last, take. I seen Malcolm. He couldn't speak. He was. I really saw him in a state of mind that I'd never seen him, and I was like, oh my God, like it's hard for me because I'm getting the bruises, I'm getting the violence, but it's so hard for him too. I mean, you could feel the energy I lose my words sometimes. Yeah. The effort and the connection that was on set, it was, honestly, I never felt that anymore. And it was, that honestly is what that's why everything works so well.
Yeah. So Malcolm, obviously we mentioned, the scene you had to do was challenging. How did you, when you went home, did you switch off or do you always just switch off after a scene like that? Did it traumatise you a bit or did you go to sleep?
It does. No, it does, to be honest. It does take, and I found this, a couple of projects I've had where I've paid fucking horrible people, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And it does take a while to switch off because, you're an actor, but the thing is, you can't help, when you're doing something like that, which is a very violent scene and a very abusive scene to a woman, to anyone, I wouldn't really be able, I couldn't do that. But to be able to do that and act that believably, you have to tap into that sort of animal part of yourself. Yeah. And you can't just switch that on and off, I mean, I remember leaving the house and feeling sad and but there's that part in my mind that says, it's just acting, everyone's all right. But, you feel the residue of that.
Definitely.
The remorse, I guess. I remember I did this play and at the end of this play, I was basically abusing this girl. And the play just literally stopped at the moment where I was going to quote-unquote abuse her and blackout to leave the audience with them like, oh, right, this is what he's doing. And I remember having terrible trouble because I just wanted to get out of the theatre. I just wanted to get home. And I said to an acting coach friend of mine, I said, look, I feel really awful. I can't speak to anyone after the show. He says, what's going on? I explained what's going on. He said, yeah, you're not getting any closure from this. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, what do you mean closure? It's like you go into this point and then it finishes. He said, and I think we did this on set a couple of times anyway, that he said, when you finish, just ask the girl who you're playing opposite with just for a hug. See if that's all right. Because you need to make sure everything's all right. And I'm sure I hugged you on set because it's just...
Quite a few times.
Yeah, because, professionally.
Professionally. Very, very professionally.
But not when the camera's just rolling. Because you need closure about that. And it does. Yeah. And it did make me feel so... Because it was like a baggage off you. And because you come home and you think, it's acting, but you've done that. For that moment, that take, when I was slamming that door, when I was pulling around and pushing her on the bed and screaming in her face, that was real. That was acting, but it was real. And there's that adrenaline, there's that urgency, there's that violence that is there in all of us. And it doesn't switch off. You come out, and as I said, I remember leaving the set and leaving the house and thinking, I'm just a bit sad, but knowing how to turn that round.
Yeah. Because I remember domestic violence is real. It still goes on. So when we made the film, the main thing we wanted people to raise awareness, the main thing we actually wanted people to take away from it is, okay, we just really wanted people to watch the film and think, okay, we've done it a little bit of justice. Okay, we've never been through it, but we know people that's gone through it. And so what are the main things that you want people to take away from watching the film? Because it's on YouTube, it's on Amazon Prime. So everyone go watch that. So
definitely go watch it.
Yes.
Well, I think first of all, it's not okay. An interesting point I want to draw out isn't that actually none of the neighbours did knock on the door.
I know.
Which I think is really interesting as well, because a lot of people, they just They don't want to get involved, yeah, I think. And I think maybe the first thing I would like to say is if you hear that going on next door, I mean, it's a bit like with Boris Johnson and his girlfriend when the neighbours called. It was for different media purposes. Mm. But if you hear that going on...
Call the police.
Mm. Or go and knock on the door.
And see if it's okay.
You know, make sure someone's safe.
Because you lot weren't quiet.
It might not... No, we weren't quiet. But that's what I mean. Yeah. And it was a quiet little, you know, middle-class suburban place, very well-to-do where we're doing it. And we were making a lot of noise. And there was a lot of screaming, a lot of shouting continually all day.
No one did.
And I think a lot of people just go, oh, no. So I think, for me, one thing to take away, if you hear that, go and knock on the door. Mm. You know, get in between. Go and call the police. Definitely. Do something. Get in the way. Because that's the first reason to stop it. And I think the second thing is don't do what Garner does in the film. Two bads don't make a good.
Yes. What I will say is, like, speak and ask for help. There is a way to ask for help. Also, first to your friends, the people you trust, your family, but also, you know, there are people who do it for job, like helping people, associations and...
Yeah, many different domestic violence charities out there.
So speak up. You're not alone. I was reading there are so many people, not just women, but like people that are, you know, live in fear because what's going to happen at home. Mm. Children, just speak up, just call someone. There are like places you can ask for help and get help before, of course, arriving at, you know, the point we arrive in the film. So ask for help and speak with the people you trust.
Definitely.
And yes, that's what I would say.
Yeah,
it's such a difficult thing to offer advice on, I think, isn't it?
Because
everything's
different, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone's different. Derek, I mean, yeah. I think a lot of abuse, male, female,
sometimes mentally as well. Yeah, it's not just physical.
It's manipulation a lot of it. This term gaslighting, you know, and especially in the film, it's, oh, Derek's manipulating her. You know, I need you. You know, I'm offering you this job. Mm. You know, no one else will get this job. You know, there's all this manipulation that goes on that then turns to violence, and it makes the victim, whether it's male or female, because this happens to men as well in relationships. Yeah. Feel that they've done something wrong, and it's very difficult to go and ask for help. I think, I mean, God forbid, I've never been in that situation.
Yeah,
but it's good to make a point out of it. And there's always like, just go and ask for help, you know. But it's obviously not that easy.
Yeah.
Not that easy at all. Because you have to seek professional help. Because sometimes when you do go to your friends, they may not give the best advice. I mean, they just say just leave them, but it's not that simple. I know the easiest way is just
they're mentally attached.
It's a process to it.
It'd be like trying to put a plaster on a broken leg.
Yeah.
If you broke my leg, I wouldn't. There's a plaster. You'd go to hospital.
You'd get that sorted out.
I mean, as much as like talk to a friend, it's like no, talk to the police.
Exactly.
First and foremost, or go to a abuse charity or something like that. Or, you know. Friends, most of the people will go, like the neighbours, they were just going, I don't want to know about it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Derek seems nice to me, maybe she's just mental.
Exactly. But what I would say, the fight scene, everybody was shocked. So a lot of people at the screening thought, you are going to kill her. Okay.
Plot twist, isn't it?
Bit of plot twist. But so they were so shocked when they saw the actual outcome, when the roles were reversed, they actually thought Carla was going to die. Mm. And they thought that was good because in a lot of situations... that is what happens. Mm. Even doing our research, that's what... Okay, we could have taken that way. I think when we were doing our research, we were going to take it that way, but we thought, let Carla have a way out for a change. Let the...
Yeah.
But what we would want to say as well, we got the reviews that we got. So a lot of people were saying, how come you're not highlighting men going through domestic violence? We just got to make it aware that we're very aware that it goes on for men as well. Yeah, yeah. But it's not about men, or man
female.
Or women.
It's
male or female.
It's not about male.
It's just about highlighting this situation. Yeah. So whether you're a man or a woman, and you're going through it, anybody, you know, try and get help or try and seek help. Because I think a lot of people say, what about men? What about men? But it wasn't even about singling out.
Yeah, what about men? Fuck the patriarchy.
Yeah, so it wasn't even about singling out a specific... We kind of took it in a direction we wanted to take it in.
Yeah.
But it applies to everyone, if that makes sense.
But it was that twist, I guess. And, you know, yeah, there's a spoiler here, you know, to have him killed,
yeah.
I think it was a good idea as well, because it shows that, you know, even that isn't the way out, because, yeah. you know, you she's still
so
suffering.
Now she's going to have to live with what she's done.
No, you're going to have to live with killing a human being, which is probably horrible anyway. You know, I couldn't even know that we're doing something, but to live with that for the rest of your life, you've killed another human being. Yeah. B, you're going to go to jail.
Yeah.
You might not be a long time, but you know.
We don't know where Carla is now, do we?
No,
we don't know where she is.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
Okay, on that note.
She's going to kill again.
So on that note, if we were to get a script for Trap 2, would you both do it?
Of course.
Well, listen, Malcolm, it's a film. There's always ways around. Would you be interested in doing it?
Derek's twin brother.
You can always go into flashbacks, Eric. You know, how it started.
How it all began.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know. Okay, let's not even give any spoilers for the second one if we were going to do one.
Yeah, I love working with it. So, yeah.
Okay, on that note.
So what you guys been up to after Trap? How's your life been? What's the acting jobs you've been up to? What were you been up to? Let's start with you, Guy.
What am I doing? Sorry, I just went back from holidays. Nice. My mind was holiday, yeah. Food, family, holiday.
Where'd you go to?
So I went back home to Italy.
Nice.
So it was, food and family, a lot of food and a lot of family. It was always nice. At the moment, what am I doing? Sorry. I'm applying for, you know, projects around. Yeah. I'm trying to, you know, find good projects that could be interesting. I'm, you know, working on my craft and doing a lot of classes.
Yeah.
And hoping in the new year, if everything is going to be fine, if I'm going to be allowed to stay here. So, no. But, yeah,
Any
I'm waiting. I did, after Trap, I did some short films.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yours was, you know, another thing. I loved.
Yeah.
Honestly, that. No, but that energy, of course, because there were some emotions, some kind of emotions involved, and we spent a lot of time on set. We met before. There was a long casting process. It was really, I still think about it. It's just so, it takes you, you know, it took me a lot. And I will always be grateful because you told me how many people apply for that. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, honestly, oh my God, why did they choose, like, what was...
You was good.
You're really good at what you do.
You played the part well.
But, I felt really, really lucky because it was an amazing project and I really hope I'm going to do a part two. But yeah, yes, we'll see.
A podcast whisper.
A part two.
Part two.
No, definitely. We'll have to sort something out. I mean, we've got things planned, but we'll talk about that.
We're working on something. We're cooking something up.
Yeah.
Yay.
We're cooking. How about you, Malcolm? Well, you've been a busy boy, haven't you?
You've been doing a lot of theatre, haven't you?
A lot of theatre stuff.
Well, last year was quite a weird year because I do mainly theatre work. But for the first 6 months of last year, I did nothing but films.
Mm.
And it was really cool because I mainly do a bit of theatre, a bit of film, theatre. And it's quite nice flipping between because theatre is maybe a bit larger. Mm. And I really like doing film work because you just dial everything down and it's very, very simple. And the camera does the work for you. You don't have to work at all, really. Unless you're shouting and throwing a woman around a bedroom and being murdered with a jewellery box and left in a garage, which was really cold and smelly. You left me in there for all those days. But then literally at the 6 months mark, I just, for the whole part of last year, apart from one short film, I did nothing but theatre work.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it was a busy year. And I thought a couple of times I've bitten off more than I could chew because I was rehearsing one thing during the day and doing another play during the night. So I was, you know, the work of an actor. It was like, but I was doing massively long days. I was working from 10 till 5 rehearsing and then 6 till 10 performing and doing that for quite a long time. And I thought, oh, I'm going to burn out. But I did some amazing projects last year. We got, you know, a comedy, which I don't do a lot of, called A Slice of Eel Pie. We got amazing reviews, got Offie nominated.
Oh, where can we see that?
Well, that's actually coming back next year to the Exchange Theatre in Twickenham.
Nice.
That's coming back in May, A Slice of Eel Pie. And then the other big one I did last year was for Proforza Theatre, a company I work with a lot. Great artistic director there, David Brady. wrote this amazing play called At Last, which was like a political drama, mm-hmm. and was of its time when it was last year when the whole Brexit thing was going on. They wrote it a year before, but when it went up, it was so of the moment, it was quite frightening. And that just did amazingly well. We got Ophir nominated for that. We got amazing reviews. It went on a little tour up to Coventry. Then it came back down to London. And I basically, yeah, that then finished off the year, 15th of December. And then I just sort of took a deep breath, sat on my sofa with my cat, watching all the television I'd missed out on.
It's needed.
Yeah, man.
It's needed. You need a break. Everyone needs a break.
But you were very busy too.
Yeah.
You are very busy too.
Yeah, we've been, do you know what? We've been working on a lot of individual projects, you know, in terms of people have been asking us to jump on their own projects and just planning this podcast, really. We left Trapped and then, well, we finished filming Trapped and then we thought, what can we do next? So we started planning this podcast, jumping on different projects, different meetings. We got a knife crime film coming out this year. We begin production in May, June times.
Dion, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called Dion. So it's basically about a young man who loses his father to knife crime, but we kind of explore mental health. We explore, you know, the aftermath of you losing. So we see everybody, every individual's character, you see their kind of view on things and see how hard it is. We've got a really powerful scene. It's actually written by the guy who, Jonathan Motoka, he wrote One Day. So we brought him back to write Dion, and he did a great job. So, yeah, we're just doing loads of different things, just continue this podcast, obviously, potential film festival. We're going to potentially have our own film festival next year. So we're just trying to, you know, expand, you know, and just... Because we're still small.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still growing and...
Still small, but you own hoodies and T-shirts.
And a laptop, a case.
And a laptop. Yeah, I mean, crikey. I mean, yeah.
So phone cases, T-shirts, water bottles, all come in.
That's a big company. You know, once you got that shit sorted out,
honestly,
fucking
when
there.
The people I invited at the screening, the premiere, everybody was like, you know, they're young, they're so young, but they have so much energy. And so we,
it's exhausting.
Honestly. No, but everybody can see that.
Your energy and your commitment.
Oh, thank you. Do you know what it is?
Really, really clear.
Because we're independent. We do everything off our own back. Every bit of money, we use our work money. So we have normal jobs and that money we use to invest in our projects. Mm. And if we can pay people, we pay people. But, you know, it's all a journey and we're just grateful to get to where we are at now. And 2020 will be a good year for us. Hopefully we can all work together again.
Mm.
We will. That. I'm sure I can get someone to write a project for everyone and we can all work together. But yeah.
We've got someone behind the camera called Amin. He's a good content creator. Yeah. This guy, we're working on something called Fraudsters.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. It's coming soon. We're going to start filming that in February.
Yeah, March, maybe early February.
Early February.
So that's a good one that he asked us to be a part of.
He's got a few projects behind him.
He's written so much good projects for us.
So loads of stuff are coming.
We're going to be directing, producing, you know. Yeah. So I think it'll be good, busy few years.
It will be.
Hopefully.
Well done.
It all started with Trapped.
Yeah. No, literally, that was our first project under Fresh Media.
Yeah.
So One Day wasn't under Fresh Media, but...
It was in uni. Yeah. We did it at uni.
For university. Yeah,
yeah, still, not a bad benchmark to set yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, if people go
I think
see
everything
the film,
we do, we just want to be better than the last, you know. Yeah. Obviously, Trapped is a classic.
It's a high mark, isn't it? Yeah, exactly.
It's quite good. Yeah, because I was looking back and comparing it. It just... You can see
the way it's shot. It also depends about who's behind the camera as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not even just about, you know, it's about the technicalities we use and stuff.
It's very little. It's the edit. That's where the film really, you know, because you can shoot loads of things and it was really, again, professional, but all that time you took in the edit as well. And the score and all those little things.
Martin Larcombe, what amazing composer.
Because I'm sure you had loads of different edits, didn't you, as well?
We had about six or seven.
Yeah.
So the Martin Larcombe, who done our score, he did amazing. So he obviously done it himself, but he kind of asked us where we wanted what instruments we wanted, and he actually went in the studio and he cooked it up for us, and he actually did like four or five different scores for us that week. So we gave him a brief and he did it, and he did it great.
He did one day as well, which
was incredible as well.
Wow.
So he's great. But yeah, everyone that worked on Trap was good, from the whole crew. So yeah.
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 I'm happy. Very happy.
I'm not bitter about missing out on the pizza.
Do you know what, Malcolm? We're going to have to buy you another pizza.
No, I don't want to hear about it. You know, I don't want to hear. I just used to get, for the listeners, I just want to let everyone know that I would go home and see Instagram and they'd be with this, they'd tag me in these like happy crew pictures in the kitchen. We're like, oh, you missed out on the pizza, Malcolm. I'd be like,
you used to leave. Yeah, you
used
to leave. Just gone. Where's Malcolm?
I was feeling sad. All I needed was a hug. I just told you that. I just needed a hug, but you just said no. And it was snowing that time. It was really cold.
It was very cold. I remember on the Sunday when we began filming, it was so cold.
That's right, with Phil. Phil, my friend, and my work colleague, Alexandre.
She was great. She was great. I know when she came on, everyone's at the screen was like, oh, like, she's so cute. And she did a great job.
I remember Phil saying, because he had to do that shot from outside knocking on the door. And he was like, God, it was really cold.
But we didn't use that scene, did we?
No, he was knocking on the door.
Yeah, but the scene that we did, so he was walking in.
There's certain things that's not going to make it. Certain things wouldn't make the edit, just because of...
I'm having coffee with him on Monday, so I'll tell him.
But the reason why we didn't use the edit, just to clear it up, is because of the...
Lighting.
I think it went from... It took so long in that scene that it went from light to dark.
Dark, so quick. So when the editor was doing it, he said it didn't look... The contrast wasn't right.
You can shoot it, you can have that in your storyline, but if it doesn't work in the edit...
Yeah, exactly.
It just went dark really quickly as well, and it just... Yeah, it didn't work. But... I mean, these things, no one prepares you for it. It's like...
You just learn on
no
set.
One, like, we've never worked with a child actor before.
Yeah. And she was quite nervous.
Yes.
But she did great.
But she did great. And it's like, no, like, the only way to prepare for these things is just to do it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, even this scene, you know, the scene that you're referring to with the violence
I remember
and stuff,
telling Christian I was so nervous about doing it because I'd never shot something like that before.
You have to make sure everyone's all right on set, make sure, you know, the actors are cool.
You did a good job about
that.
Thank you. Maybe it's a fluke. Was it a fluke? Oh, no, maybe we're good. No.
I think as well, Matt did a great job with the camera work. Yeah, he's so good. So he did the camera, he did the lighting, he made sure everything was okay. And, you know, he was really efficient.
Yeah.
No, he was a brilliant DOP. And again, that's what something you want because you've got this vision and you need someone to say, that's not going to work, or this does work, or why don't we try this? Because, you know, is any film or any piece of art, I guess, that we do in the creative process, theatre, film, radio, podcast, it's collaborative, isn't it?
100%.
You know, it always is. And I don't think, you know, any of the bigger directors say, well, they've got their vision, but it's all input from other people, isn't it? So, you know, Matt was brilliant.
Yeah. I would agree. I mean, my advice to the listeners is just that if you have a vision...
Just do it.
You only live once.
Even if you don't have a budget, just work with what you got and always be like upfront with the actors and say, look, I don't have this money, you know, because we've heard loads of stories of people promising money and they don't get paid. So just be upfront, you know, and get people that want to do the project and they'll do it. Like Malcolm and Guy, they did it.
And buy them pizza.
I'll buy you some pizza next
time. No, but I made it up because I nicked loads of those sweets from the premiere.
Yeah.
All those little bag of sweets.
Is that where they went? Because the funny thing is, we said, where did they go? Because there was...
I didn't take them all. I took a few.
Revenge for the pizza.
I made loads of money.
Really? I mean, yeah, you can have it. That's your pizza. Your pizza's gone now. I wanted those sweets as well. I'm like, where's the sweets gone?
There's a lot of salted popcorn left, though.
Yeah.
Nobody eats salt, I guess.
Well, that's all right.
Anyways, we're coming towards the end of the podcast. So, guys, if you want to tell people your social medias, tell the listeners where they can find your work and stuff. So,
ladies first,
Gaia. Tell people your socials.
Social media,
so it's Gaia.poly. That's my name and surname. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Instagram and Facebook. But yeah, I use just Instagram. And. What else? No, just that.
Yeah. And quite simply, Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Malcolm Jeffries. Just simple, MalcolmJeffries, at Malcolm Jeffries. The only one. None of this one or underscore shit. I just got in there quick.
Should I spell it too? GAIA.POLI.
For me, it's so easy, but you always tag it.
Yeah, I'll be fine on that.
And guys, you can follow us on Instagram, Fresh Media Presents. You can follow us on Twitter, Fresh Media Presents. You can follow us on Facebook, Fresh Media Presents. And you can also listen to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other major podcast sites.
Cool. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in.
We'll be tuning in every Sunday
at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for asking us.